I'd like to call your attention now to a scripture reading found in the 42nd chapter of Isaiah. I'm going to read just a short lesson here, beginning with verse 5, Isaiah chapter 42, beginning with the 5th verse. It starts with these words that every time we read these in the Bible, these words ought to always get our attention. It starts with the words, "Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." And I'll stop reading there with that 9th verse, having read through the 5th through the 9th verse of Isaiah 42 for a scripture reading. My thought today will be based upon the title, "The One and Only True God." And I want to establish this statement to begin with that the Apostle Paul made in his writing to the Ephesians, that there is only one true God. Paul said, "There is one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all." Now the Bible tells us that there's gods many, and that there's lords many, but it also tells us that there's only one real, true, living God. And so I want to speak for just a little while about that, about the one and the only true God. And I want you to notice something, and I'm sure that you already have in reading and studying the scriptures. There's a pattern that is found not only in the Old Testament scriptures, but in the New Testament scriptures as well. Many times where, and Isaiah seemed to be very masterful at this in his writings, but oftentimes we find in the Bible where if someone was writing something or someone was saying something about the Lord that would be written down, that in order to make the point that they were talking about the true God, in order to make it known to whoever they were speaking to that they were talking about the one and only true and living God, oftentimes they would use in reference to Him being the God of creation. I'm talking about, when I talk to you about God, they might say, "I'm talking to you about the God that is the creator of all things." And we find an example of that here in the verses that I have read here from Isaiah chapter 42. Thus saith God the Lord. Well, what Lord? What God? Well, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. That's the God that I'm talking about. And the Apostle Paul did this same thing many years ago when he preached the sermon there in Athens at Mars Hill. He did the exact same thing. If you look in the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, in about verse 23 through 25, you'll find that as Paul came there to Athens, as he was waiting there for Silas and Timothy to come, and there was something that the Bible tells us caused his spirit to be stirred in him. He saw that these people there were very idolatrous people. They had built all of these different altars, they were worshiping all of these different idol gods. And so the Apostle Paul says, and this is the way it's recorded in Acts 17, beginning with verse 23. He said, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God. Him, therefore, ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" And this is the way that the Apostle Paul began to tell those people the God that he was talking about. He said, "It's God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with men's hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." So Paul there, when he wanted to describe God to them, when he wanted to speak to them concerning this unknown God, he said, "I want you to know that the God I'm talking about is the God of creation, the God that made all of this." And you know, it is completely absurd. Listen, idolatry is really an absurd practice. It doesn't even make sense. When you stop and think about it, even to the logical mind, to me, it doesn't make sense that someone would worship something that they had made as God, that they would take something, perhaps using wood or stone or whatever that they use, and shape it into some type of form, and have to pick it up and move it from one place to another, never have it talk to you, never have it answer a prayer, never have this thing help you in any way, but yet worship that as God. And I think that in that we can really see where the depravity of man will lead him. To actually worship something that you yourself were responsible for making. But listen, the true God is the Creator. The true God is the one that made us. The one that I worship and the one that I serve, I didn't make him, he made me. And he made the world and he made all things. And when I preach God, he's the God that I preach to people. When I talk about God, he's the God that I'm talking about. The God that made all of this. And the God that continues to create. You believe that God continues to create? You know, sometimes we do an injustice to ourselves and perhaps to God to think of him as a creator only in the past. And I know that we read about in the scriptures, we read about how that in 6 days that God created the heaven and the earth, and he created the animal life, and he created plant life, and he created human life in that initial 6 day period of creation. God made this world and the inhabitants of it. But listen, God continues to create every day. When David, long ago, the psalmist David made the statement, when he said, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Well, was that not true of the day that he was speaking of at that time? But is that same thing not also true of today as we assemble ourselves together here at Fairview Memorial this morning in May of 2015 on this Sabbath day? Is it not true that God made this day as well? And if there's a tomorrow, it'll be God that makes that. God makes every day, not just the day that David spoke about. He makes every day. And so he is the creator. In the verses that I read here from Isaiah chapter 42, in the ninth verse, and I want to speak some today about the attributes and the abilities of God and the things that he's able to do and accomplish. But in this ninth verse, it said, "Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Now, God has done many things that are past. God has done many things throughout the history of the world, throughout the years that earth has existed from the time of his creation and the human family has existed. God has done many things. God has wrought many miracles. But we cannot look at God as just being a God of the past. And we certainly should not look at God as having someone who in days gone by performed miracles. God still does that. He still performs miracles. I believe that he was saying here that God not only was the God of former things, not only were there things that God had done that had come to pass, but he was able to declare unto them the things that had not yet been done. God can see from the beginning to the end and everything in between. Known unto God are all of his works from the very beginning until this day. And so he can, God is not only the God of the past, he's the God of the present, and he's the God of the future. You know, the Lord has blessed me in my life. Has he blessed you in the past? Has God done things for you in the past that you look back upon them, you reflect upon those precious memories, and you think of things in days gone by where God has blessed you in the past? And certainly we all of us as God's children, we all have those memories of things that God has done for us in days gone by. But the God that we serve, not only has he blessed us, and not only has he been with us in the past, but he's with us presently, and he's going to be with us in the future. And listen, God has done wonderful things for his people, but God has some wonderful things yet to come for his people. One of the great things about God, one of the wonderful things that the Bible teaches us about him, this that makes him so much different than you and I, is that God never, ever changes. And I want to speak about some of that too. But I want you to think about this verse that's found in the 44th chapter of Isaiah in verse 24. "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb." Listen, "I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." Listen, God is a God of such power, and he's a God of such ability, that he has been able to, and he is able, and he will yet be able to do things that he does not require any assistance whatsoever from us. You know, God, as Isaiah said here in the 44th chapter of Isaiah, in this verse here that I just read, he made it known unto us concerning the Lord that God created all of this. He created the heaven, the earth, the universe. God created all of this by himself. He stretched out the heavens alone, and he spread abroad the earth by himself. Have you ever been working on something? Have you ever been trying to do something and come to the point where you couldn't get it done alone? Maybe you didn't have the physical ability, maybe you didn't have the knowledge, but for one reason or another, you just weren't able to complete the task by yourself, and so you had to call a family member, or you had to call a friend, you had to call somebody to help you with that in order to get it done. And I believe that we've all had those situations in life, and we continue to be that way because of our limited ability to do things. Here, will you hold this for me while I tighten the bolt, or will you do this or that? I need some assistance. I need some help. Listen, God created the world alone. There wasn't any human intervention in that. And he didn't need it. The world today, listen, the society today that we live in, they're beginning to look at God as nothing but a God of the past. They're beginning to look at his word as nothing but ancient words. They're beginning to look at his word as something that is nothing but something that dealt with the past. But I'm telling you, that's not true. And I want the world to know this today. And I want to declare this before everybody that's willing to listen. I'm going to tell you something that God looked at 3,000 or 4,000 years ago and considered it to be sin. I guarantee you that God looks at it the exact same way today. If it was sin 1,000 years ago in the eyes of God, it's sin in the eyes of God today. And no matter how much the human family tries to justify sin, no matter how much they try to say yes, but times have changed. Those things don't apply anymore. Those are archaic writings. That's old school thought. That's Old Testament stuff. Listen, no matter what they say, God looks at it the same today as he did many, many years ago. Because listen to what James wrote about him. He said, do not err. James 1, 16, 17. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no what? No variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Lord through Malachi said, I am the Lord, and I change not. I don't ever change. God's glory. God still has the glory today that he had when he created the world. God still has the power today that he had when he created the world. God still has the mindset today that he had when he created the world by himself. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? You know why? I mean, with our minds, that's hard to imagine, because it's hard for us to imagine not changing, isn't it? Everything that we're accustomed to changes. We change. Our physical makeup through the years, it changes. You know, we lose strength, don't we? When we reach old age, we're not as strong as we once were. We're not as swift as we once were. We have seen things happen to us through the years. We all see a decline. I remember Brother Vanderpool, Brother Forshee and I were talking about this on the phone a few days back, I remember Brother H.C. Vanderpool in one of his lessons out at the Old Union Minister School one year, he said, listen, he had kind of forgot something, and he said, if you want to know what's wrong with me, just read Ecclesiastes 12. That answers it, doesn't it? We begin to change, we begin to decline. God never changes. Never changes. He doesn't lose any of his power. He doesn't lose any of his glory. He doesn't change in his thoughts. He thinks about things many years ago. He thought about things the same way that he thinks about them today. He didn't need our help. I want to share in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, in verse 13, these questions. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor, hath taught him? Did God call you? And you read the 38th chapter of Job, and you'll see him actually talking to Job about this. But did God call you when he was making the world? Did he call any of us and say, you know, I don't quite know how to fasten the world here. I don't know how to quite set all this in place and get it to stay. He didn't need any counsel at all from us. God didn't need any advice from us. Let me tell you something. I sure do need his advice, and I need God's counsel, but he has never had to ask me how to do anything. The Apostle Paul in the Roman letter, in the 11th chapter of Romans, said essentially the same thing. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Let me tell you something. We don't need to ever lose heart. We don't need to ever lose hope. Because I'm telling you today that God, the same God that saved my soul over 40 years ago, the same God that may have saved your soul over 50 or 60 years ago, God is still the same today, and he still has the power to save these lost souls right now. Friends, I want you to know that God has the power to save your soul today. He can save you the same as he saved me and saved others, those who had been saved many years before I ever came into the world. When I began to seek the Lord, he had the same salvation for me that he had for them. Those old pioneering Baptists that I spoke about in the early years of this country knew the exact same God that we know today. There wasn't anything different about him in their day than there is for us right now. We've got access to the same grace. We've got access to the same mercy. We've got access to the same power. We've got access to the same God that directed their steps and led them through wilderness settings and helped them in ways that are unimaginable. And he can still and is willing to still do the same thing for his people today. Let's not ever look at God as just being someone of the past. Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8, say it with me. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He's the same. He's the same, and he always will be. Listen, we sometimes, the human family has such a poor view on what it means to be wise. And it's getting to be more and more that way all the time. The world looks at people that have all of this head full of knowledge. They know all of these worldly things. They've got all of this secular knowledge. They can tell you about this and they can tell you about that. And the world looks at those people and they think, what a knowledgeable person. What a wise person. Let me tell you something. The wise of this world have been those whose lives have been linked to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The wise people of this world have been those that realized that they were sinners and that they were in need of God and sought after Him for forgiveness of sin and newness of life and came to know Him as their Savior. The wise people of this world are those that realize that without God we're nothing, and without God we can do nothing, and we don't have any existence outside of God. It's in Him that we live and that we move and that we have our being. And I want you to understand this today, both saint and sinner alike, that every breath that we breathe comes from Him. Every moment that we live comes from God. I'm convinced. You may not be, I don't know. But I'm convinced that my life is in His hands. I'm convinced that if God wants me to continue to live in this world, He'll have me continue to live. If He wants to take me out of this world, then He can send that call and I'll answer that call. If God wants to stop my breath and say that there's no need for you to go on, then that's up to God. I'm convinced that He's in control of every day that I live, every breath that I breathe, every time my heart beats. God in control. I believe, you know, in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah wrote about God sending the rain down from heaven and the snow down from heaven to water the earth that it might give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You know, I believe that every time we see it rain today, that it's still God that's bringing it to pass. The snow that we complained about back during the winter because we had more snow than you're supposed to get in Kentucky. But the Lord sent it, didn't He? He sent it. It's His earth. Belongs to Him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods, and it's His. And if He wants to water it with 12 feet of snow from heaven, that's up to God, isn't it? It belongs to Him. And He still oversees it. And He still takes care of it. Solomon said, as wise as he was, because God granted him great wisdom, Solomon said in the third proverb, in the seventh verse, he said, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. There's people walking around on earth. There have been in the past, there are today. They think they've got everything figured out. I'll tell you what, listen. When people are seeking the Lord, one of the biggest hindrances they can have is trying to figure it all out up here. You're not going to figure out salvation. You've got to feel for it. You've got to seek for it. And it's a work of the heart. It's not a work of the mind. They that have put their trust in the Lord and rely upon Him and cling to Him and say, as David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. They that put their trust in this great, true, living God of creation are the wisest people on the earth. You may not have a PhD, but if you've trusted in the Lord and sought Him for salvation, you've done the wisest thing that anybody can ever do. And I want to say this, if you're here today and you're lost and you don't do that, if you reject the Lord, if you push Him away and you die without God, you lived your life foolishly. You lived it foolishly. God is the same. He's always the same. He never, ever changes. He looks at sin today. Boy, I wish people would believe that. God looks at sin today the same way He did 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago. If it was sin then, it's sin today. It's still sin. He's still God. He's still God. No matter what the human family does, God is still God. Brother Ernie, let's have a song. Thank you for your attention.